Good morning. Hey, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Tom Worthley also passed along an announcement. We have a lot going on in the summers, with the outreaches, because the weather affords us the opportunity to do that. But this Saturday is the parade. It's July 4th. It's Independence Day in America. And we have a float in the parade, and there's more help needed. It is a wonderful opportunity to go out and just be a light and share the love of God with people. July 3rd, Tom says here in this note, this is Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning, there is a need for people to help put the float together. The float is being, built, and then we get a semi-truck, a tractor-trailer that's brought here on Friday, and we've got to put everything on it and put it together. Screw guns are needed, he says in this note. So if you have a screw gun and you got some time Friday morning hanging out, I'm sure there'll be coffee and donuts or whatever. If not, we'll make sure it happens. So July 4th, then also after the parade in the parking lot here at noon, we again need people to take the float apart, and we need screw guns again for that. So if you're able to do that. And walkers, we always need walkers. We go along and we give out flyers, and the parade is, all the parades and all the things that go on in America, what a cool thing to be able to go out ourselves as Christians, walk before 20 people in Fitchburg and be a light for Christ with a float, the gospel's on the float, give out flyers, talk to people as we're able to. We always need walkers and people to hand out flyers, but we're meeting at the 99 restaurant at 9:30 in the morning on July 4th. You got that? Cool. All right. Hebrews chapter 10. I debated this morning about where to go, because there's just so much going on in our nation. And depending on where you're at, different things are going to hit you in different ways, but there's just so much going on in our country. Not too long ago, a little over a week ago, some man went into a church and shot people in the church during a Bible study. And all the things that are connected with that racially in America, we've got that. We've got then the political things that are going on. And for Christians, it's just, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and you love people and you want the gospel to go out, you may be very burdened by just the things that are going on. So I was, where do I go? At times in the history that I've been here 20 years teaching the Bible, and at different times nationally, because of the events in our nation, I have just felt led to, maybe look at a different passage. We're going through the Gospel of Mark, but I'm going to put it off again. In fact, we're going to put off our verse-by-verse study through the gospel for a couple weeks, and we'll pick up with it in just a little bit, get back on track. But I have a message on my heart, and I'd like to share it with you. Today, interestingly, too, is what is called Call to Fall Sunday. Call to Fall. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you get those emails. Different leaders in the church in America felt burdened a few years ago to encourage the church on the Sunday before Independence Day, because of all that's happening in America, call to fall. Let's get on our knees, dedicate part of our service and prayer to the Lord for America. We've been part of it a couple times over the last couple years, and today is Call to Fall Sunday, and I'd like to be part of that with you. There are hundreds of thousands of Christians that are doing this today, days before our Independence Day, and this happens just the Sunday before Independence Day. I've seen pictures, maybe you've been to the website for Call to Fall, but I've seen pictures of mega churches where, when I'm on the stage and I look out at from the stage, the view you get is a bunch of eyeballs and faces. But I've seen pictures where they've taken on Call to Fall Sunday, mega churches, thousands of people, and what you see instead from the stage, rather than seeing eyes and faces, you see backs, as thousands of people in a sanctuary are on their knees praying for America on this particular Sunday. And I want to go there with you at the end of the service. And before we do, I want to share some truths with you. And I think these truths tie in just by God's doing. God has already put things on my heart, and it just kind of works. But I want to share some things with you, just a message that's on my heart, some things that we can be encouraged by and challenged by. These truths, some of this I shared with the young adults recently. The Friday night before last, the young adults group is meeting at Bob Gretzky's house, and there around the fire, this young adults, I just exhorted them with these truths, and even helped use it to, you know, lay out a vision for the young adult group. And I'm going to go there this morning, but I'm going to go a lot further with it. We're going to take a few weeks and develop things a lot more. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Why don't we read these verses together? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, this particular text, the Sunday after 9/11, the Sunday before, we were going verse by verse through the book of Hebrews, and the Sunday before, we stopped at verse 18. Tuesday, 9/11 happens, the whole tragedy at the World Trade Center and so forth. Our nation was really rocked. I'm going to teach a message now on the Sunday following. I'm seeking the Lord. God, what should I do? And so much going on. And well, I looked at the verses that were just following in Hebrews during the week too. And I read these verses. I said, well, this is great. This is where I'm going to go. So a few days after 9/11, our little sanctuary down on the first floor of this building at the time, two services packed out with people. We went through these verses and it was timely. I know God spoke. Well, 10 years later, the 10-year anniversary of September 11th fell on a Sunday morning. And for various reasons, another key moment, and at times, you know, Katrina, I remember stopping then. We considered other things, the Iraq war, you know, and just different times, just felt, okay, let's just stop for a moment. Maybe the passage we're in will work, maybe not. But 10 years after September 11th, I felt led to stop again our verse-by-verse study. And on that anniversary, we went through these verses. You might have been there that was 3.5 years ago. Some of this I'm going to remind you of, but we're going to go a lot further with it today. I hope these things encourage you. I think there's, you know, maybe you're wondering, you come through the door, and you're like, man, what is, you know, our nation, where's everything going? What, you know, what's it all about? What am I supposed to do as a Christian? I think we have a great plan right here in these verses. I'd like to say a word of prayer with you. And we'll get started. Father, as we begin, I confess my need for you. Ultimately, Lord, as we go through these verses, I want to be faithful to you and have, you know, give the message before you that you want me to give. I confess it's so easy as a person, as a man, to want to, you know, say what people want me to say. It's just so easy to want to, you know, bend one way or another, and yet I know if I do that, I could potentially not be faithful to you. So I just ask God for a focused heart and mind to just ultimately say this before you. But I pray you'd bless. I pray you take these truths and just bring them into our hearts and minds even further. I ask for the Holy Spirit to be upon all of us, even myself as we go through these truths. In Jesus' holy name, amen. The author of the book of Hebrews, maybe you know the book, but the author is writing to a weary group of believers. They're Messianic Jews. They're Jews that have come to Christ. And for various reasons, as you read this letter, we don't know who the author is, but as you read it, you begin to pick up, it's pretty clear that these believers, these Messianic Jews, are suffering because of their faith. They're weary. Maybe you come through the door today and you're a little weary as a Christian. You're wondering, where is everything going in America? You know, what's it all about? And you might have that burden on your heart. Well, these believers are like that, and yet in because of their situation is fairly intense, they're in danger, at least from the perspective of the author, and of course that would be the heart of God, they're in danger of drawing back. And you might be here today too, and maybe because of various things, because of discouragement in your life individually, discouragement as you're looking around at the world and the country, whatever, but you might also have that sort of situation in your own mind and heart. Of drawing back, of what's the use? Well, if you happen to be like that today, you want to stick with us in this study, but also as we go forward in following studies, because the author is very clear about the danger of drawing back as a Christian. You never want to do that. In fact, all the more we should press forth ahead. But what should we be doing? Well, the author, and we were considering this the Sunday after September 11th, he's told these Jewish Messianic believers, hey, you've come to Christ. What you have now in Christ is the fulfillment of everything before. It's superior. Why would you want to go back? It's dangerous to go back. The Old Testament, all the laws, all the sacrifices, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. He's by far superior. And not only in person, but your experience now as a Christian, you have this great hope. It's an superior experience. His sacrifice is greater. His priesthood is greater. All these things. And so because of what we have now in Christ, it's not wise to go back to what was replaced, to what was before, to your old way and your old belief. You know, as Christians, when we look through these verses, in the same way, he reminds us in these verses about what we have, and we need to remind ourselves about what we have and be true to what we have, no matter what's going on around us. Because we have in an amazing way. We have the superior high priest, the superior sacrifice. We've got this great experience. That is to say that you and I boldly, as he says in verse 19, confidently, we can draw near to God in the way that we do as Christians. We have this experience of being here today on a Sunday morning, and with just freedom, being able to just cry out to God, talk to God. We have what we have as Christians. It is wonderful. It is powerful. We can seek Him today and find His peace and His strength. Well, when reading through these verses, the first few verses here, 19, 20, 21, 22, as you read that, I mean, certainly, I'm sure you get the image of prayer. You think of prayer here. Because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, because of where He is at this very moment, He's at the right hand of the Father. And because He's there and what He's done through His blood, as the writer of Hebrews is declaring, you and I can confidently go to the throne of God and to the holies of God, and we can speak to Him. You when you read through these verses, you think of prayer, those first few verses especially. And for a moment, just imagine with me. Imagine with me. Take Jesus out of the equation for a moment. Let's pretend for a moment there is no Jesus. And let's even go back for a moment in our hearts and minds. Imagine you've got the temple. You're back with the Jews. You've got the temple. Not only is there a temple, there is this human high priest and Levites. There's also a whole bunch of sacrifices going on every day, a whole bunch of shedding of blood, killing of animals. And then within the temple itself, there's even this veil. And when it comes to actually going behind that veil, only one guy can do it one day a year, and it's with incense and sacrifice, and it's even a nervous experience. And that the presence of God is behind that veil. So prior, let's just take Jesus out of it for a moment. Our experience prior to that, if you were a Jew and a seeker of God and wanted to draw near to God, understand what it was like. It's not your experience today. There's a building, there's a temple, there's a priesthood, there's sacrifice. And then He's behind. You can't even see Him. He's behind His presence, you know. There's a keep your distance sort of thing. Well, for the Jews, that was the experience. Now these people have come to the Lord, and in coming to the Lord, though it's been difficult for them, they're weary and they're being tempted to draw back. Why would you leave like that? And just for you and I today here in 2015, just consider what Jesus then has done for us. It's amazing what He's done for us. There's no priesthood anymore. There's no sacrifices. There's no blood. There's no screaming animals being put to death today. There's no thick curtain. We sit and in just a freeway, because of the blood of Jesus and because of what He's done, we cry out to God. And even at this moment, He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. The point is consider what He's done. It is amazing what He's done for us. And just with that, as we get started, I mean, just that alone, shouldn't that reality of what Jesus has done for you and I, as Christians, shouldn't that all the more, just the reality of what has happened and what He's provided for, shouldn't it all the more move us to be people of prayer? I mean, just logic it through. If what was before, that was what was before, and you and I live in the now, and he's done that with his blood and his death and where he's at, shouldn't we be people that are just moved to pray? You follow my logic? Considering what he's done. That's what the author is showing. He's describing the reality of what Jesus is for you and I as believers today. His very blood has given us the ability to do what we're doing, and that we can boldly, in a moment, we can just say, "Oh, God Almighty," we can cry out to him. And we can have his spirit here with us in a very real and life-changing way. Well, because of that, the writer of Hebrews, hey, you're weary, the pressures, the world around you, the things that are going on. He says, therefore, brethren, I'm reminding you who Jesus is. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of the blood of Jesus. Having boldness. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, what you and I have, the Hindus don't have. What you and I have, the Buddhists, they don't have this experience. The Muslims don't have this experience either. You just have to see and watch. They don't have this same experience. The atheists don't have this experience, that's for sure. What you and I have, if you just look, is radically wonderful and powerful and with just absolute freedom to be able to draw near to God and to connect with God because of what Jesus has done. I shared that Sunday after 9/11, and then the anniversary, exhorting us again, feeling led. Let's go back. What should we be doing with these things going on in America? What's the plan? Well, note first here, brethren, having boldness. I exhorted us as a church then, and I will now. What we should be doing, the first thing is we should be praying. I mean, really? Really? I mean, look what he's done for us. I mean, consider what the Lord has done for us so that we could just pray and be near the Lord. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter, to right now, you know, come into the heavenlies in that sense, right up to the throne of God, spiritually speaking, confidently laying our petitions before God the Father, knowing and believing that our Savior, Jesus, the High Priest, is right there, and that our prayers are effective. God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers as we are led by him in our prayers. All this to say, you know, you might be here today a little weary, just heavy-hearted, broken-hearted, watching what's going on in so many different ways in our land. It is an amazing time in America. Where is this all going anyway? Where is it going to go? I mean, how much longer until it's even tough to be able to gather as Christians, to be able to even study the Bible? I know there are voices that are saying now that, hey, religious liberty is there to stay. But honestly, I think they're discounting things. You know, there's lots of concern, but hey, Sunday after September 11th, 10 years later, all the other time, now I think what we should be doing is we should pray. We should be praying. We should pray for one another in the church. Man, we need to be praying for each other. Where is it all going to go? What's around the corner for a born-again believer in America? What's around the corner? We should pray. We should be praying for one another. We should also pray for our city. There's so many people in our city. There's so many people that God hears our prayers. We could be praying for God's mercy on their lives, God to draw them to him. We should be praying for our city. We should pray for our nation, indeed. It's called a Fall Sunday. We're going to, in a moment, get on our knees, and for those of us that physically can, and we will just, for a moment, pray for this nation. We should pray for our president and our government, and if you don't like the president and the government, and you're burdened and maybe frustrated, remember the writers of the New Testament, many of them wrote in the time of Nero, you know, so if we're exhorted to pray, and they prayed for their government, man, we got it pretty easy still. We should be praying for our government. We should pray for what's going on in the world as far as the international conflicts. We're told to pray. It is an amazing... There's soldiers, American soldiers. Some of us in our right here in this church, there's people in this congregation in other places right now with the military. We should be praying. And we should pray for our enemies. We're told to pray for our enemies. And whatever that might be to you right now, if you look around the world, and or if you look even in the nation, whatever that to you may mean, remember Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So, this morning, we should pray. We should pray as we go forward. We should, you turn on the TV. You turn on the TV, you see all the things. Recently, you know, turning on the TV, you see this church in Charleston, South Carolina, and all the horrible images. You know, all these people shot. I mean, just a horrible situation. What should we be doing? You turn on the TV, you see these things, and is it a time to get our guns out? Is it a time to go and get more guns? If that's your thought, if that's what you believe, it's time to get the guns. I just ask you, with the Bible, man, show me in the Bible. Give me a Bible study on that. Take me to Jesus and show me where Jesus exhorted, you know, get your guns. And maybe you try to use certain passages. Hey, I do think there's a place to be wise. I do think there's a place for reason. I mean, if some crazy maniac came in here, we would want to protect the people that are here. And I'm not advocating getting guns either, but at least that we'd be good tacklers or body blockers. At least the men would do something, you know what I mean, and protect our people. I think that's okay. I mean, somebody going to come here and shoot up and harm our people, and it's so tragic what has happened down in South Carolina. And I got more thoughts related to that, and some of them are coming in following studies because we're only going to get so far this morning. But should we be grabbing guns? But should we be grabbing guns if we're not really praying? I mean, it seems we should get the greater things in line first. Doesn't the Bible say that we have greater weapons than guns? Shouldn't we especially be employing those weapons? Shouldn't, as a congregation, we get that down first, the prayer down first? I mean, doesn't it say in His Bible that He's mighty and powerful and that He's got these incredible angels? Just get another picture in your mind with me, too. I mean, for a moment, imagine from heaven, God's looking down on the church in America. He's got these mighty angels around Him. He's looking down, and as He's looking down, because of some of the things that's going on, He's watching churches, and they're going and grabbing guns. And yet they're not really praying. I just wonder, and we get that viewpoint of God from heaven looking down, and we're grabbing our guns. And yet God's like, really? Hey, yeah, there's a place for reason and all that. But honestly, when we can come boldly, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, when we can come boldly before God because of what Jesus has done, I just wonder what the Lord must be thinking. Gosh, those Americans, man, a little slow. I include myself. Though I was born in France. Not too long ago, you know, you might be getting weary with the battle, the spiritual battle, you know. I was getting a little weary of it a little bit ago, but just thinking of prayer. And I have been learning, and I've shared a little bit about this. I've been learning, and I've been here 20 years, but in more recent years, God is teaching me, you got to pray about the battle, man. There is a great battle going on. You have to pray. As a result, I find that it's changed the way that I pray. I pray every day. I pray for the battle that's being waged against my family and my children and my marriage. I pray against the battle that's being waged against this church and the staff. I pray every day. I pray against the radio and the battle against Renew FM and the very different. And as I've gone on, I found I have to pray more and more, and my prayers are getting longer, and I have to be very specific. And I'm finding God's teaching me that there's a spiritual battle. I've given you weapons, and I pray. I pray for people by name. I pray for specific things. I go through. I pray for the building. As I'm praying for the radio, I more and more I'm praying for parts of radio, and I just recognize there's a growing battle that's going on spiritually speaking. And if we're not doing it right, this crazy stuff is spinning us around and knocking us over and keeping us down. So I pray. But I got to confess with you, I didn't used to pray so much that way, and I'm getting a little tired of it. I'm like, man, I could just sit in my office all day and pray this way. Well, true story, not too long ago, I got up one morning, I was having my devos, I'm like, God, I'm not praying this way today. I'm not doing it. I've been doing it every day. That should be good enough. I'm taking the day off. I want to talk to you about other things. So I don't know if you ever do that. I'm pretty dismal. I you guys come every week, but I am pretty goofball. But anyway, I went through this way with the Lord, you know, and I got done and I had my devotions, and I'm using the church reading, but I'm a little bit ahead on the church reading and the website. And the church reading for the day that I was on, I just want to show you what my reading was after I did that. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm like, Lord, I'm taking the day off. And this is what I read in my New Testament reading. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, taking up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's my reading. That was the New Testament reading that day. On the day, and that was it. It's just like one of the classic passages about praying about the Spirit, right? In it, don't you agree? But I wasn't done. I was like, Lord, okay, whatever, man. But I'm going to look at my Bible app. That's what I did. I'm going to look at my Bible app because I don't want to do it today. So I open my Bible app, and the verse of the day, I just bring it up. You know what it was? I'm not kidding. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. I find the Lord is telling me constantly and consistently there is a growing spiritual battle. And as a father and as a pastor, as a husband, there's a battle, and I need to fight this battle and take out my spiritual weapons. And one of the weapons, the great weapons, is prayer. I feel the Lord is telling me that over and over. In fact, just as a reminder to you, these are simple things. Many of you know this very well, but I'm heading to a point here. But Luke chapter 11, well, how did Jesus teach us to pray? Let's just note it. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Isn't it true that Jesus, even when he taught his disciples and taught us to pray, that we need to resist the devil and we need to pray in this spiritual battle? And is it possible with what you and I are witnessing as Christians that there is a growing spiritual battle around us? And if there is a growing spiritual battle, then what should we do? What should we do? I think of, I'm burdened for our government, and I look at the nation, and I'm burdened for the nation. And to me, and I think of this, And I might have shared this before, but to me, there's people are being mesmerized. You know what I mean? There's something going on. There's some sort of spirit in America. I think of that scene from the movie Lord of the Rings, where there's that one particular king, and I can't remember his name, but that king is there, and he's got that evil dude that's kind of controlling him. You know that scene? And this king has this spell on him. You ever see the Lord of the Rings? He's got this spell on him, and it's such a spell that he even looks different, but he's like in a fog. He can barely stay awake. And whatever this evil dude says, he just does. He doesn't have control. He can't even think. He's under this spell. And I look in America, and I'm like, there's like a spell going on. It's incredible. What is happening in our land? What's happening in America? Where are we going? Does anybody know where this is going? I think of that, but you remember the scene where Gandalf, he comes in with his staff and everything. And then he casts the spell off that man, and then the man can think clearly again. I tell you what, he's writing to weary believers. Weary believers that if they don't do the right things, they're drawing back. We'll get to the end of the chapter. We're going to spend a couple weeks here. If you draw back, it's not good. If you and I as a church are not doing the right thing going forward, what's to keep us? There's powerful. Remember, even Jesus said that in the last days, lawlessness is going to abound, and the love of many will wax cold. Well, you know, I speak of the way I'm praying now every day. I even got a prayer from a missionary. It was given to me at a pastor's conference last year, and I use this prayer, and I pray for all kinds of things. And I'll mention it to you. Hey, if you're interested in getting a copy of it, I'll give you a copy of it. Meaning, I it's a different way for me to pray, but I am just convinced more than ever I'm making a stand in prayer in a battle. And even if I get tired, God's like, there's a battle. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Christian, are you here today? Are you frustrated and complaining with the direction of our culture and our nation? You burdened? Does it seem to you like maybe, you know, people are just mesmerized and there's even beginning to be a lack of reason? Well, if you are you praying? Are you praying? If you feel like you've been a faithful Christian praying, and maybe this is your experience, you're thinking, I meet Christians like this, I can relate. You're like, I've been praying and praying, but it doesn't seem to be changing anything. I feel like that at times, you know, where we as a church, myself individually, we've really just prayed for God's grace in our nation and for change, and it just seems like the ship continues to go one way. And so then you start thinking, man, forget it. You know, maybe that's you today. I was in my office at home the other day, and my office needed a cleaning, you know, it needed to be arranged, and I it was an answer to prayer. Lily decided she'd help me arrange my office. Lily's got a great little gift of arrangement and organization, and I had just gotten overwhelmed and didn't have the time, and I just needed help. But I even remember going, Lord, can you help me here? And Lily came through for me, man. Lily's got that gift. You know, I remember one time I had a bunch of scrap papers and scrap pages from notes in a thing, and she went through and just on her own decided, I'm going to arrange my dad's scrap papers. And she made perfect little stacks out of it. I'm like, Lord, this can work, man. This can work. You know what I mean? We got a good thing going here. We do. We got a good thing going here. So anyhow, we start arranging all the little stuff and getting piles in an order and file cabinets and so forth in my office. And as we're doing, we came across these newspapers, and the question is what to do with these newspapers. But there was a newspapers from back in 2004. And I want to say, In our time in our nation, it is so difficult because there's things that are bent and twisted, and I believe when I speak certain things, I'm speaking from love for all, and it can be so misunderstood. And if anybody here misunderstands me, I'd love to just share with you why I'm here to teach the Bible, and I'm going to be true to the Bible no matter what, because it's a book of love, and we need the truth. But anyhow, my daughter is looking at these newspapers, and back in 2004, we did this large prayer gathering at the Civic Center called Pray for Marriage. I felt, because of the way things were going, that let's just get people together. Let's just pray. Let's show a message of love. We love everybody, but we need to pray. You can't redefine things. You can't just change what God has done, and that's not good. And so we rented out the Civic Center, and a whole lot of people came, and it was on satellite and all that, TV, and all kinds of media came. And anyway, Lily's looking at it, and I just said, Lily, I just want you to know, as a father, I have been burdened, and I want to show a message of love, but I'm burdened for our nation and the direction of our nation. And this is what we've done. I haven't just stood by and ignored things. I haven't been busy with my own little projects. I just want you to know, I want my kids to know, we're passing the baton off to you eventually, but I've tried to do my part. I just want you to know that. And especially with prayer. I've tried to gather people for prayer. We've had prayer gatherings, big ones and so forth. But you know, we've done that, and yet the boat just keeps even quicker, you know? It can be a little disheartening. Dedicating all this time to prayer, why isn't some of it? What's going on, you know? But I will share this with you. Remember the passage we looked at not too long ago in Mark chapter 9 of the little boy that was demon-possessed? Remember we noted it, as he was demon-possessed, it was a horrible situation. But when the disciples began to bring that little boy to Jesus, and here they're doing the right thing, they're bringing him to Jesus, and that demon, it said, grab that boy. And that demon tried to dig in its heels, and it just got even crazy scary for that boy for a bit, that he even looked like he was dead. But remember, we noted that sometimes, as you're doing the right thing, it'll even look like it gets worse before it gets better. Remember, at the end of that too, Jesus said these words. These are his words in Mark chapter 9, verse 29. This kind can come out by nothing but... You guys are very good. You get an A for the day. Star on your chart. By prayer. The writer Hebrews says, to a weary, almost ready to turn around group of believers. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. He speaks, gives an image of prayer, of crying out to God with boldness. Boldness. Now note, as we talk about that, it isn't just the fact that we pray, it's also how we pray. He mentions this thing of boldness. But then he even goes further. Notice he says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice he says, it's also how you pray. Let us draw near with a true heart. You notice the word true heart, and then he follows with an evil conscience, sprinkled from that, cleansed from that, and your body's washed. True heart, so there's full assurance. The full assurance is that sense again of coming to the Lord that I know that I believe in Jesus. I know he forgives. I know there's the throne of God. I come with all, I know he hears my prayers. I believe in those scriptures, and I come in full assurance. But notice there's also this statement of having your conscience cleared. And we all know the experience. Guilty conscience, you know what I'm saying? A conscience that you struggle with. I tell you to come as a congregation, as individually bold before God, you know. That's what that we need to be, just bold before God. And yet, when we come and we have a guilty conscience, there's a dilemma. And you know what I'm saying. We'll mention the verses about the grace of God here, but you know what? It hinders you, doesn't it, from being bold. When you come and you know that there's these things in your life you keep dragging along, you know, and you know that they're not right, and yet you're not really dealing with it, or you're ignoring it, or you're going to plant your feet in a different way. And so you come to God, and prayer is important, but it's not just the fact that you're praying, it's boldness in prayer, and boldness in prayer comes with a full assurance, and a full assurance that isn't limited by conscience. You follow what I'm saying, right? I'm sorry, guys. My throat is really dry all of a sudden. So, that then says something to us, doesn't it? And I think that's also part of the struggle in the church. We might be thinking, why isn't this prayer thing working? why is this prayer thing working? And then, but we got these. We're not being serious about it in other ways. You know, the heart sprinkled. The NIV, you know, uses the term guilty conscience. It's that having that sense that, you know, I'm clean before God. I've confessed my sin. That's been taken away. I have peace with God, and I come before the Lord. You know, the point being is when fellowship with God, as he's describing here, it demands that sense of purity. Fellowship with God is a pure heart and a pure conscience. And you think of the Old Testament high priest or the Levites, when they would go into the temple, they would wash, they would change clothes. There was an image of getting right before they went into the temple. And in the same manner, for there to be boldness in prayer, there has to be the sense that they're of getting right. And so it isn't just prayer. If you're weary in prayer, And then, of course, there is even the will of God. We'll go into that in just a second, but before we do our call to fall. But I think for some, prayer hasn't been working for you because you're very conscious. Because there's other things that are clouding it out. There's stuff that's got to be dealt with. And the cool way in these verses, it can be dealt with, that we can go to the Lord. And if we're sincere, say, God, you know what? I come before you. It's all by your grace, but I recognize there's this stuff in my heart that's got to go. There's stuff in my life. I've been involved with this, looking at that. That activity has been this stuff. I confess I've been rebellious. I've not been willing to get that area of my life right. That's part. When there's revival in the church and prayer is powerful, that's part of the whole thing. It's a cleansed conscience and a heart because I want God. I want his will. God, do your work in me, God. I confess my sin to you. You know, look at me, if you would, at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Notice he said God is light. God is light and in him is no darkness. And if I'm living in the darkness, and I say I'm living in light or acting like it, there's a, no, you can't have the two. But then he says, he balances it out. Hey, we can yet fellowship with the Lord. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just, and he forgives, and he cleanses us. Remember in Isaiah chapter 59, God said to the nation of Israel, it's not that my arm is too short. It's not that my ears can't hear, but your sin has separated you from me. Well, Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, our high priest, we come now and there's no other sacrifice, and we, God, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me and heal me. Lord, I confess that area. I really want it gone in my life. I just ask you to forgive me, Lord. And I'm willing. Here's my heart. Purify me. Do what you need to do. And I know that area, Lord. I know it. I've been disobedient, and I've kind of planted my feet in that, and I want your forgiveness. I'm going to change it. Help me to change it and make it right. It ain't going to be easy, whatever. But when we come and confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us and to forgive us. And in a wonderful way, it's a guaranteed thing because we, you know, I write these things that you wouldn't sin. But if you do, hey, we got a lawyer. We got an advocate. He's our propitiation, meaning that big Bible word. He's the sacrifice. But he's also the go-between. He's the attorney. He's the advocate. He's both. He's everything. In every way, Jesus is standing right now next to the Father. He's got the marks maybe in his hands and feet. He's all that we need. We can come boldly to God. But I tell you what, the Scripture is clear. Remember, we note these things. Remember what Peter said to husbands. Husbands, remember, there's an example of it. He says, husbands, dwell with your wife with understanding. And if you don't, he says, that your prayers won't be hindered. Do this so that your prayers aren't hindered. Your prayers can be hindered. And there's other things where if our hearts aren't right, then maybe we get discouraged in prayer because our hearts aren't right. But I don't know, some of us have been around the church a long time. We've seen so much going on in the world and whatever. We got every reason to get our hearts right. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, what should we do going forward? Well, we're going to go through all these verses and a few others after it in the next couple of weeks. But we should pray. We should pray. And maybe as we pray, maybe it still won't, like the nation will continue to go one way. And we're going to find it's even going to be hard to be a church and meet as a church. And maybe that's where some of this is going. Hey, even if it goes that way, even if God has a different plan for the nation at large, yet as we pray, we see here that it will yet have great benefit even to us. These guys are going to, don't draw back, the writer of Hebrews says, enter into his presence with boldness. I mean, the following the Lord, it's going to make us stronger. As we pray in the midst of it, we'll be stronger. And yet revival may even come to America, and though the ship may still continue to go the way it's going. I was thinking of yesterday. Maybe you heard Greg Laurie on our radio station. He was interviewing Nagme Abedini. Did you hear? Anybody hear that? Nagme Abedini is this lady who's from Boise, Idaho. She's an American, but she has Iranian descent. I don't know if she was born there or not, but she's married to Saeed Abedini. We talk a lot about Saeed because he's in prison right now in Iran. But Greg Laurie was just interviewing her, and she told the story of living in Boise and being in her young 20s and having a burden for Iran, and she decided to go to Iran. And when she was there, somehow in the time of the story, she meets this man, Saeed, who's just got a love for God. He's just a worshiper of God. She describes him. And anyhow, they began to minister to Iranians. He's a former Muslim. He's become a Christian. He's already ministering the gospel in Iran. She now joins him in that, and all kinds of cool things are happening. Underground churches are being planted. They decide at one point to come back to Boise, and they're living in Boise, and there's travel back and forth. And there is one point where he's in Iran and going to leave Iran, and the Iranian government pulls his passport and won't let him leave. And they let him go freely, but there is a situation with the Iranian government. Eventually, what it leads to is they ask him, hey, listen, preaching the gospel, whatever, listen, why don't you help? There are a lot of poor people and orphans. Why don't you do that? We'll let you do that in Iran. So he says, I have a burden for the poor. I'll do that. So they, he goes back to Idaho. He's got his passport. Him and his wife are working on doing an orphanage thing in Iran. They're doing that sort of thing. Anyway, there's another time they're back in Idaho. He goes to Iran because the government has even said to do this. He's working with an orphanage. But on the way there, he just gets there. The word report gets back to Boise that he's some Iranian guards. I think he's even in a house. And I forget some of the details, but the Revolutionary Guard comes to the house, takes Saeed off. They don't know where. Nagme shares the story how she is, that's the worst week of her life. She doesn't know where her husband is. They just know he's been taken by Revolutionary Guards. Anyway, I'm listening to this. It's very beautiful. Because he ends up in prison, and she starts to share how she takes hope while he's in prison. She starts hearing through reports and family that he's leading prisoners to Christ, which is really their desire, is to lead prisoners to Christ. And that, though he remains in prison, and they move him to different prisons, and she shares, there's other Americans in the prisons, but the guards are nice to them, but this man, Saeed, he won't let go of his Christian faith, so they're really brutal with him. He won't stop, but he's leading people to Christ. She takes hope in that. He's being beaten, all that sort of thing. Well, as she goes on, she does make this, he's now been in prison for years, and it's very hard, but she said this. She says, every day, I find that God meets me and gives me what I need. All that to say, I use that as an example. What if the ship we're on in America keeps going one way in a way that's contrary to the Bible, and it makes it very difficult for Christians? Hey, we have a God. We can go boldly. We find His strength. We find His grace. We encourage one another. We minister. People get saved. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I asked this question 3.5 years ago on the anniversary of September 11th. I said, you know, remember we were talking about prayer after September 11th, if you were here? It's now 10 years later. And here's a question for you. How are you doing with prayer in your life? Let's think back 10 years. Have you grown as a person of prayer? How are we doing as a congregation? And you might remember I went through that, and now it's 3.5 years later. I can say it again if you were here. How are we doing? Are we growing as people of prayer? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter. Are we growing? Are you growing? Are we, as a church, are we growing in prayer? Well, you know, maybe you're too busy, and I noted this a few years ago. Maybe you're like, well, I'm too busy, but maybe there's a battle to keep you busy. You might remember, if you were here 3.5 years ago, I made the point. I said, hey, were you too busy if you were here in 2001 and now it's 2011? Were you too busy in 2001? But let me ask you this. Do you do Facebook? Remember this? I said, do you do Facebook? Facebook was invented in 2004. Wait a minute, you weren't praying in 2001 much, and now it's 2011, and you're still saying you're too busy both times, but you're doing Facebook now? You make time for that. Let's just go through the list. How about Twitter? How about Instagram? How about Netflix? How about League of Legends? I just learned about that game this week. How about CrossFit? How about P90? Some of the stuff I don't even know that well. My point is, do we understand what the blood of Jesus has done for us? Do we understand what he's done for us? That we can boldly come before God, and we can cry out to heaven, and he hears our prayers. Shouldn't we enter with boldness and be bold in prayer? There is a battle going on. There is a growing spiritual battle, and some of that growing battle is to keep you busy and away from God. Prayer is our great weapon. I don't think the guns are so critical. I am a hunter, so don't get me wrong. Maybe there's a place for protection and all that. I'm not going against that, but prayer. Point number one, it's called a Fall Sunday. The worship team is going to come up, or you guys can pray with us too. I'll let you come up when you want to come up. Let's pray, shall we? There are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of believers today that are praying for our nation. And they're getting on their knees, and I'm going to ask you to get on your knees. If you can't get on your knees, if you got a knee ailment, that's okay. You got a back problem, whatever. I'll leave it up to you, but let's get on our knees. The last service, we got on our knees, and I'm going to just open the sanctuary up for prayer for a moment as you feel led. If you pray out loud, if you could pray loud enough, when you're on your knees, it's a little harder to hear you. Our nation's Independence Day is just a few days away. Things are changing in incredible ways, and we are to pray. So let's pray before we go today with hundreds of thousands of believers, and then the worship team will close us in worship. I pray with my brothers and sisters here today that we pray for our nation. We do pray for revival in America. That the Word of God would go and people would come to that realization, many, many people, that God sent His Son to save the world. We all need a Savior. We all need forgiveness. We all need life in Christ. So, Lord, I pray all the more, bless us, make us a bold church of prayer going forward. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's worship as we go.